Okay, today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is the exciting daf Tetzayin, and we're holding right at the first line, Toshma. So we're still basically discussing the issue of whether, in fact, Beit Shammai were willing to actually do what it was that they were doing, what it was that they paskened, or whether because of the chashash of Lo Tidgod Edu, whether there was a sense of this responsibility that they needed to make sure that they would end up in a way that would allow Yisrael to continue. So this is, without it being too Torot, so this was the whole discussion that was revolving around the idea of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's takona, that he wanted to make a takona that we could all live with. Let's do something we can all live with. And it turned out that min hashamayim, that didn't happen. Nitrafa hasha'ah, and that didn't happen. And then there was all kinds of discussions, whether it was the correct thing to do at the time and so on. But the bottom line is that we saw basically that there was a min hashamayim. There is this path that seems to be pressing towards a single Torah that is defined by Beis Hillel. And we still don't know whether lemaisa there was this whole period, maybe it was only before the Basco, or maybe even after the Basco, if you hold you're not Mashgiach, but Basco, in which they actually did create Mamzerim, so to speak, because of the, according to Beis Hillel, by allowing that Sarah to marry the Yoav. So let's take a look at the Maisa Shaya, Toshma. Bimei Rabbi Deisa ben Hurkanes Hutrat Tsaras Habas La'achim. It happened in the day of Rabbi Deisa ben Hurkanes, who was very, very rich, as we're going to see, and who was from the earliest of the Zman that we're speaking of, the Tanoim. And he, it seems to be saying that in his days, they were actually Matir Halacha L'maisa, and it became the practice to marry the Tzoras Abbas to the Achim, which is Mamish like Beit Shammai. And so you see from here, Shmamina Asu, Shmamina. So from here, you can clearly conclude that Beit Shammai did do what it is that they held. Because otherwise, what are we talking about? Hutar. Hutar means Hutar. Halacha L'maisa. That's what people did. So apparently, yes, that settles the question. Definitely, they did do it. Now, let's take a look at the Maisa Shehoya, Gufa. Bimei Rabbi Deisa ben Hurkanes, Itiru Tzarat Habat La'achim. And this was very, very problematic. Hayah Adavar Kasheh L'Chachamim. Because Rabbi Deisa was from the greatest of the Gedalim. And he was a Chacham Godol Hoya. And there was no real opportunity to be able to deal with him as part of the normal back and forth of Limud Torah and Milchamta Shel Torah, because since he was blind, he had stopped coming to the Beis HaMedrash, and therefore there was no way to interrelate with him and to persuade him that this is not the way it is. So that in a sense they felt he was out of it, and there was no way to really bring him back into the normal flow of the halacha. And therefore, they had no way of actually presenting to him the alternatives. And this was a terrible thing, because he had the right and he had the power to be able to go ahead and to actually be matir. And apparently he was. So they decided, Amru, they said, they had a conference, what can we do? So who's going to go and actually try to persuade him and talk to him and explain to him that this is not the correct way to go, for whatever reasons that we have, even if you hold that that's the halacha, apparently there was this entire tzad to say this is not the way to do it because of the inyanim of the Lo Tizgodedu, and ultimately, like the Ramchal explained, the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was unique and could lead to a complete breakdown in the Yichud HaTorah, Shelo Yu HaTorah Kishtei Torot. And so they decided, Rabbi Yoshua, he volunteered, and Rabbi Yoshua said, I'm going to go. So he was the one that was closest to the originally had been a Talmud of Rabbi Deisa ben Hurkanes, and Rabbi Deisa ben Hurkanes knew him, and he felt comfortable in being able to sort of get the conversation going, so at least they could come to discuss the issue. So he volunteered to go. Okay, but that's, you can't just go with one person, because we're trying to show that this is the das of the Chachamim. So who can go after Rabbi Yehoshua, meaning that will accompany him and second in line? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they decided. And who after that? Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva himself was a Talmud by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So basically you had three different generations, in a sense, in terms of the Makor of the Torah, that went to talk to Reb Deisa. So they come to the mansion where he lived. Ochu ve'amdu al petach beto. Nichnes ha-shivchato. So Reb Deisa's shivcha comes in and says to Reb Deisa, Amra lo Rebbe, Chachma Yisrael bo'im etzlecha. The big gedolim have come to visit you. Oh, he says, very good. Amar lo yikansu. Let them come in. Absolutely. I'm talking now to the Gabbai of the Rebbe. You must get the Rebbe to show up. Please make sure that you call and you mute yourself, but that you call him now. So, Yikansu. So they all come in. Now, he only knows Rabbi Yehoshua. So he grabs hold of Rabbi Yehoshua and he says, oh, please sit down. Tfasola Rabbi Yehoshua, because he knew him and he was close to him, and he sits him down on a golden couch. Now, he was the only one, basically, that he knew from before. That's why Rabbi Yehoshua was actually volunteering to go in. He was so rich, Rabbi Deisa, that he sits him down on a golden couch to be mechaben. So Rabbi Yehoshua says to him, Rabbi, emor la talmidecha acher v'yeshev, there's another Talmud of yours here that should sit down. It wasn't a direct Talmud, but he calls him a Talmud because that was the connection that Reb Deisa had to his father, to Azariah. So Reb Deisa asks Rabbi Yehoshua, and who is that? So Rabbi Yehoshua explains to him, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Oh, says Rabbi Deisa, Azariah, our good friend, he has a son that he was able to give over as we know, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was fabulously rich, and his father was also fabulously rich. So Reb Deisa was fabulously rich. So he says, oh, I'm so happy to hear that our dear friend Azariah has a son that he was able to put into that kind of position. So he says, Nar hayiti gam zakanti v'lo ra'iti tzadik nezav v'zaro mevakish lochem. I'm so happy that he was zoche to be able to give over these riches and his Torah. Amazing. Wonderful. So he grabs hold of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and he puts him down on another golden couch. Okay. Rabbi Deisa had enough golden couches apparently for everyone. So then Omarlos, Rabbi Yeshua said, Rebbe, but there's somebody else that's here. Emor le talmidecha acher miyeshev. Who's that? Me who? Asks Rabbi Deisa. This is a boy that's called Akiva ben Yosef. Now, he didn't know Rabbi Akiva was much younger. So Reb Deisa says to Rabbi Akiva, you are the famous, I've been hearing about this newcomer, the star now, the new star, Akiva ben Yosef. Shishimcha olech misofo olam v'ad sofo. Oh my gosh, you're the guy that I hear about that's in all of the news reports and everything that everybody says over. It's all about the new kid on the block. Rabbi Akiva, finally I get to meet you. You go from one end of the world to the other. This is a remez to the Or HaGonos, the Mefarshim say, that he was zeche to be able to see in the Or HaTorah, the actual Or HaGonos, and so on. So he was very excited. Very nice to be able to meet you. There's from the Rav of Minsk, there's a Kabbalah that Misofa Olam Atsofa has the gematria of 564. And if you take a look at the number of times that Rabbi Akiva is mentioned all through Shas, it's 564. That is very, very sweet. Sofa olam vat sofa. So all of the Masechas of Shas, that will be your name. Anyway, excellent, excellent. So he doesn't hug Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't hold him. He doesn't put him down on a mita shalzov that he's not yet ready to do. But he says, sit down, my son, sit down. So shev b'ni shev. Kamotcha yirbu b'Yisrael. We need a lot of these, you know, stars. Let me tell you something. And Lamaise, obviously, I mean, why wasn't he? If he's shmo holech misofa olam v'at sofas, why didn't he put him also down on a golden bed? So it could be because Lamaise, Rabbi Akiva was himself a Talmud over here. And because of that, we're just going to put him. He was a Talmud by Rabbi Yeshua Mamish. So you would put him down on the same darga of Chashivas as his Rebbe. He didn't think that that was appropriate. So Rabbi Yeshua introduced him. So fine. So he gave him the cover that is suitable to a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. Anyway, so itchilo misavivim oto b'halachot. Now, they didn't want to get into the problem that we heard about yesterday where, you know, don't get me involved in these kind of political questions. So they may pretend they were coming for something else, right? So they started talking about all kinds of other things. And then, like, they made it seem like they just, oh, and what would you say about the Tzara Zabat? So that he shouldn't realize that, like, this was basically an investigative team that was going to be attacking him on Tzara Zabat. So, fine. So they're going, misavavim oto b'halachot. They're asking him a kol minei sheilot, and so on and so forth. The Rebbe has got to be smiling as a Rebbe and should read my messages to him from during the night. Fine. So he starts talking about all kinds of other inyanim. And they finally get to Tzaras Abbas. So Archie Gil at Tzaras Abbas said to him, oh, what would you say about Tzaras Abbas? Well, Tzaras Abbas, you know, it's a machloket pechami beitilo. And how do we paskin? He said, what do you mean? We paskin like Basil? We always paskin like Basil. So they scratched their heads. Wait, so what did we come on this mission for? Amrullah, so they said to him, but Mishimcha Amru Halacha Beit Shammai, everybody is actually being noyeg like Beit Shammai, Halacha Lamaisa, and they're quoting you as the authority. Quoting me, he says. What did they say? Did they say Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanes, or did they say Rebbe ben Hurkanes? Calling me by my last name. So did they just say, Dosa Shamatim or Ben Hurkanes Shamatim? So they said, no, the truth is, Chaye Rebbe, they never used your name. We just heard Rabbi Ben Hurkanes. So Rabbi Ben Hurkanes, he says, sure, okay. Now the mystery is cleared up. I got a little bastard of a brother that you better watch out for because he is dangerous. That's who they're quoting. He's going around telling everybody that, in fact, and I use that language especially, as we're going to see the whole inyan of the daf, is exactly this maisa. So he says, I have an ach katan, and he calls him, nobody understands why he calls him this, because this is all kinds of different explanations, of different lashonas, maybe there's different kirsos, maybe that. He uses a very strange word, b'chor satanu. So I have this little kid brother, and he's a devil of a Bechor. It wasn't really a Bechor. If he's a little brother, how could it be a Bechor? So again, those people who like to take everything literally, they say, no, it's maybe it was a Bechor Le'imai. I'll explain to you afterwards what the real pshat is, because this is astounding. It clarifies everything. These two words, Bechor Satan, clarify the entire sugya. It's amazing. And it just seems to be like this throwaway line. But anyway, so this guy is a devil. You got to watch out for him. He's one of these brilliant devils. And stay out of his way. His name is Yonatan. Where's Daniel? Daniel, you have to tell Yonatan about this. Sounds familiar. Is Daniel here? No, Daniel's not here today. Okay, so El Roi will tell Yonatan. So this Bechor Satan, his name is Yonatan. And you better watch out. Don't let him catch you. Because if he catches you, he's going to persuade you that the halacha is like Beit Shammai about this. And if you're not going to be able to answer his tainus, you'll have no choice but to paskin like that. So if you don't want to paskin like that for whatever reason, stay out of his way. He's going to cut you down. Just cut you down. This kid is a devil. You think you could stand up to him? You're wrong. He's got 300 different approaches that he can prove to you. Believe me, he's put more into this than you've put in your whole life into the sugya. I would advise you to stay out of his way. It's a made beautiful story. Aval. Me'id ani alai shamayim va'aretz. I'm telling you that I have a Kabbalah, and I'm made that I have a Kabbalah that right here on this meducha, Yashav Chagai Hanavi, and this was the meducha, we actually had this in Maseches Kelim, that a medocha, there is a type of medocha that is mekabel tuma, remember, of midras, because it was miyuchad for yeshiva. So on this medocha, Chagai Hanavi sat, and he said three things. The three things that he said was that Tzoras Habas is Osir, Amon Umoav, give Meiser of Oni during Shemitah, which we'll talk about, and Mekablim Gerim Mina Karduyim Mina Tarmonim, which we'll talk about. So we'll get into all of those issues. Anyway, so now the Brisa says, so when they heard this, this is very funny. So when the three of them, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, when they came in at the door, you know, they rang the doorbell like normal people. The Shivcha let them in. They were sitting down. Everything was fine. Now they were terrified. So when they came in through one door. But when they went, they all scattered because they were afraid that he was going to catch them. And if he caught them together and they couldn't answer him, so then what were they going to do? Like this, if he catches one of them, so the other, that one will say, well, you know, maybe I can't stand up to you, but the others could have, you know. So they scatter. It's adorable, right? So, kishenichlesu, nichlesu bepetach echad, but kishenyatsu, yatsu b'shlosha p'tachim, because they were afraid who was going to catch up with him. Paga bo b'Rabbi Akiva. So who did he get? Pagas, like boom. So who did he get to fight with? Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Anyway, this Yonatan, he takes Rabbi Akiva and shreds him. And that's, Rabbi Akiva had nothing more to say. Well, I give up. Okay. So Akshileva Ukme. So this Yonatan says to him, listen, you're this famous Akiva star, like the whole world's talking about. And Atau Akiva, Sheshimcha Olech, Misofo, Lam Vatsofo. You know, it's one of these kind of worlds where everybody gets his 15 minutes of fame, even though he don't know what the hell he's talking about. You're one of those guys. Ashrecha shezachita l'shem. It's very nice that you were able to get your fame, you know, even though adain lo higata l'roei vakar. You're not even on the madriga of the people who I would use as the shepherds of my cattle, for God's sake. You're such an ignoramus. Gosh. Yes. Rabbi Akiva's reaction to that was, forget about being Roei Bakar. I haven't even gotten to the level of the sheep herders. Forget about the cattle herders. That's a big madriga. You should have, if you're going to tell me who I really am, I know who I really am. I'm not even a sheep herder. Fine. So that's the madriga of the anivas of Rabbi Akiva. Okay. That was that story. Now, Amon Umoav. Come on, guys. Such beautiful stories. You're sitting there like a bunch of, I can't take it. Listen, Gabi, you're right next to him in the Zoom, right? They always know where to put you. Just could you please take a hammer, put it through the side, and give him a smack? Sometimes the Gabi is supposed to be the one who puts the Rebbe in his place. This is the story that we just had. What are we dealing with over here? Roy Booker is a Rebbe. What's happening?
Could Rebbe please hear in?
I'll pour it into his. I'm a little bit on the side, but I'll pour it up.
I was demonstrating.
Okay. So let's talk about the second thing, which is Amon Umov Maasri Maaser Ani B'Shvias. How is that? The Yomar Mar. Look, the story is like this. First of all, we have to decide what it is we're talking about over here, because we say Amon Umov, they're going to be taking off Maaser Ani. It means that there was no din of Shemitah an Amon Umoav, right? And Rashi explains that we're talking about the Amon Umoav that Moshe Rabbeinu was Kevesh from Sichon, in which case they were Miskadesh at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, B'Kedusha Sa'aretz. And then what we're talking about over here, after the Churban, since it's going according to Mandi Omar, that the original Kedusha Rishona was Nisbata, so because of that, when the Olei Bavo came back, as the Gemara is going to explain, they weren't Mekadesh this area of Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbeinu Tam points out that that doesn't make any sense. Because remember, we have in Shmias, and we talked about it in Pesachim, the idea of Shalosh Aratzot Lebi'ur. One of those Aratzot, we had Yehuda, Eivra Yarden, and Galil. What's Eivra Yarden? Eivra Yarden is the Eretz of Sichon Va'og, right? So then that means, if it's included in the dinim of Biur, Bizman Hazeh, so then there must be Shemitah during that time. So how could Rashi say that? So it must mean, this is the Rabbeinu Tam's approach, that there are two different areas that we refer to when we talk about Ammon and Moab. We're talking about the idea of the Eretz of Sichon, that Sichon himself had been kovesh from Ammon and Moab, they were not Mekadesh. So where you're talking about the area of Sichon the Og, that was their own area, that indeed was Kadesh. But here we're talking about Ammon and Moab, which remained Ammon and Moab territory, and that part was not Mekadesh. Even though Sichon was at war with them, it was constantly invading them like Putin, that doesn't mean that we're going to call Ukraine Russia. So because of that, there's two completely different elements of Ammon and Moab. So that's the way Tosafos understands it. Fine, so let's take that approach. But in any event, there were many cities, this we had, of course, in Megillah. Harbei Krachim Kavshu Olei Mitzrayim Velo Kavshu Olei Bavel. So there were cities that didn't have the Kedusha of the Kedusha Shania, and the Kedusha Rishona was only Kichel HaShaita Velo Kichel HaTid Lavo, as we saw, that the Shita holds, that original Kedusha was Betela. Why were they not Mekadesh, the cities that they had, or the areas that they had come up to from the time of Bavel? Because he nichum kedesh yisbechu aleim aniyim b'shvius. They did not want to have that area kodesh b'kedushas ha'aretz, because that way there wouldn't be Shemitah there, and that would allow agriculture to be maintained within the Jewish tchum, and that way poor people would be able to get jobs and be able to work in the fields. And meanwhile, they would be able to get leket, and shikra, and peo, which doesn't appear in fields that aren't worked during Shvius. And what's more, they were koveya that year, even though the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle does not have any maaser, but they were koveya that since it's not Shemitah by you, you're going to give maaser. What maaser should you give? Give maaser ani. So that way, besides leket, shikra, and peya, they would also get maaser ani. So the whole thing was very nice for them, nice for the aniyim. Fine. And that's why it says that Chagai was made, that they left them. Now, this leads to a bit of an issue, which is very nogea halacha bizman hazeh. What do you mean when you say hinichum? What does hinichum mean? Did they settle the area or did they not settle the area? But pashtus, we learn that the idea of the Kedusha Sa'oretz with the Aliyah of Bavel, from Bavel, was a function of coming into Eretz Yisrael. And yet we see all the time, like we had in Megillah, that they counted those cities and the Kichum, when we were talking about the idea of Mukefes Choma, Mimot Yeshua Ben Nun, all of that concept. What does that mean, the Kichum? It's mashma that there was a specific thing that they had to do in order to be Kichum. What was that thing? Was it a proclamation? We do hereby dub thee Eretz Yisrael? Was it, like some of the Rishonim suggest, maybe that the mitzvah that we found, that we actually learned from Ezra and Nehemiah, to be bring the Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael, utilizing a Korban Teda, and walking around the walls of Yerushalayim, and so on. I mean, the Pashtus, that the whole idea over there was to give over the new tchum of Yerushalayim, where the Teda is edible, where it's not. How could you use that tchum in somewhere in the middle of nowhere? And to say that that was the way that you would be Mekadesh it, very big problem. And other Rishonim say that you needed to be Mekadesh. They don't explain how it is you needed to be Mekadesh. this was so nogea that, because the question is whether the areas that currently are now occupied by Jews, do they get the Din of Eretz Yisrael, even if they weren't Mekudesh with the Olei Bavel? So, but if there was originally meant to be part of Eretz Yisrael, so then they should get a Din of Kedusha. So maybe when Barnea went to Turkey, he was Mekadesh Kaputkia, and so on and so forth, right? So that's the question. Is that considered to be Rov of Eretz Yisrael Aleha, because Barnea was there, Imani Kana. Anyways, so these are all the kind of shilas.
My great-grandfather bought property as part of the Nuchum Menachem movement, and Ataturk took it away.
There you go. You definitely have Skriyot. Absolutely. They should only have known that they started up with the whole kaputkia. That means that the whole new industry of all of these flying balloons that people are spending tons for going to on vacation to Kaputkia, it all should come into Barnea's bank account. All right. Anyway, so what happened was that when the area in Mitzrayim was captured during the Six Day War, it's like classic. So Rav Goren did this whole ceremony. I have no idea where he got it from. To give that area the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and he made this whole proclamation that, you know, I hereby dub the Eretz Yisrael, and so on. Lemaisa, I mean, the most of the Achronim say that in order to be able to even to create a level of Kedusha, so you have to have a Beis HaMikdash, and it wasn't really Mekudesh until the Beis HaMikdash was built, bringing riots from the Sukkim and Ezra and Nehemiah, that the original people that came in didn't give it. Okay, but as you can see, it's very nogea. It's a nogea, very much even contemporary issues. Now, the third thing that Haggai said, standing on that mortar, which again, that brings us back to Kalim, was that mekablim gerim min akarduyim vahatarmodim. You're allowed to accept gerim. Now, why wouldn't you be allowed to accept gerim from anywhere? The only reason would be because we're chayshed that they're not really goyim. And if they're not really goyim, then we have a problem because they might be mamzerim. Because if they really come from Zera Yisrael, that is not handling themselves as Zera Yisrael, or even worse, if the way that the entire Yishuv there was created was through mamzerim, as we'll see, so then how could you take geris from there? It won't help to do what the Rabbanut does, you know, with the Kutim and so on. You can't do that because you can't allow a Mamzer to be presented as a Ger and then be a completely kosher Jew. He's not a completely kosher Jew. He's not allowed to marry. So we're going to call him a Ger and have everybody marry into his family. So therefore, they had a big problem. So therefore, Haggai said, you should know that the people from Kardon and Tarmod are actually goyim, and they're not mamzerim. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Votoni Rami Bar Yecheskel, ein bekablim gerim min hakarduyim. You're not allowed to be mekabel from Kardon. Ravashi, no. That's not what Rami Bar Yecheskel said. He said kartuyim, not karduyim. It's not the same place. Kiriyamri Inche. That's like a common saying that people want to say that you're a mamzer. They say, kartuyim psulim. So everybody knows that kartuyim do not have the best yichus. The Ikari Amr actually substate this over the other way, that Rami Bar Yecheskel said beferish, en mekablim gerim min hakartuyim, and we knew that that's what he said, but we thought that my love, I mean, we're assuming that kartuyim and karduyim, it's all the same, you know, it's just different pronunciations. Says Ravashi, no, not true. Not true. There's no contradiction between Haggai and between what Rami Bar Yecheskel said. They're two different places. The Karduyim and the Kartuyim. Kartuya Lechud veKartuya Lechud. And in this version, we know that that's what Rami said originally. So therefore, Kiri Amri Inche Kartuya Psile. So Rabbi Yochanan says over that apparently, maybe he never had that Kabbalah about Haggai, because he and Sabia said that ein mekablim gerim min hatarmonim, that you can't be mekabel, even though Haggai was quoted as saying you can be mekabel from Tarmod. So according to him, there's a chashash of mamzeros on Tarmod. What? Yomer b'yochanan hachi? Don't we have the Mishnah in Nida that says kol hakitamim abaim min harekem tahorim? So any kitamim on begodim that come from the town of Rekem are considered to be tahor. Why? Because over there you have to assume that they're coming from goyim. And even though the Rabbanan gave a gezerah of nidais and zivais on akum, they did not give a gezerah of tuma on dam that had dried. So therefore kitamim are by definition dried. That's what a ketam is, dried blood. And therefore, they're not going to be metame because they're goyim there. So even mid-rabbanan, they won't be metame. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, those people are actually gerim. They originally had become gerim, and then they dropped their religion, v'toim. So that now you have to worry centuries later that this dam is actually the dam of Jew, and therefore it would be mamish tamei. And as far as dam that comes from Ovdei Kochavim, literally Ovdei Kochavim, Bibena Ovdei Kochavim, that for sure, if it's a place where there aren't Jews, so then it's Tahar for sure. Now, why am I bringing this as a point? Because Vahavina Ba, when we learned that Mishnah in Nida, so we said, look, it says Bibena Ovdei Kochavim, Mashma, as long as it's a place where Goyim live, not Jews, wherever that place is, which is Mashma Afilu Min Tarmod. So you see that the Stam Mishnah assumes that cities that are assumed to be Goyish cities, you can rely that they're Goyish cities. And Rabbi Yochanan himself said, you see from here, Zot Omeret, Mikablim Geri Mitarmod. So you see that we don't have a chashash that been people in Tarmod are actually Jewish mamzerim. No, they are perfectly pure humans that then can become Yisrael by becoming Gerim. So it's a contradiction, Mamish. On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan says you can't accept Gerim from Talmud. And here he comes and he says, you see, from the Mishnah Nida, you can accept Gerim from Talmud. What are you going to say now? V'chi tema, maybe what Rabbi Yochanan says is Zot Omeret. From this Mishnah, you would have concluded that, but I don't hold of that. Maybe it means Zot, yes, but I don't agree with that Mishnah. Below Svirole, because I hold like the other Tanoim. But I thought Rabbi Yochanan always paskins like a Stam Mishnah. So if this is a Stam Mishnah, how would Rabbi Yochanan be saying that we don't paskin like the Stam Mishnah? V'homer Rabbi Yochanan loching a Stam Mishnah. Okay, but you know that we've had this problem all over Shas, and we've always pointed out that there were two zerems, so to speak, among the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Some said that Rabbi Yochanan always paskin like a Stam Mishnah, and some said that not necessarily. So this is going according to the Amoraim, who quote Rabbi Yochanan, that not necessarily is halachic a Stam Mishnah. Anyway, but now tell me what the problem is. Like, what's going on with Talmud that we have all of these shilas? Can we accept gerim or not? What's the issue? So that itself is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Sabia. One says it's because of the Avdei Shlomo. Now, the Avdei Shlomo, this is not something that we're making up, because in Ezra and Nehemiah, we have two times that when Ezra went around and he set aside the various different Yichusim, he included Avdei Shlomo with the Netinim as being posel. So it's not we're making up this getter. What is Avdei Shlomo? So Avdei Shlomo, as we'll see, Avdei Shlomo were the people that Shlomo had used in his, and remember that Shlomo's entire idea, that's why he's called Kohelet, was that he meant to incorporate all of the Umay Sa'elam. That's why he married all of those women, and he made Britim with countries all over the world. And he took in leadership, into leadership positions, he took people that were Goyim, and they were working for Malchus Yisrael. Now, these people became very influential, very rich, and because of that, they mixed with Jewish women. A lot of Jewish women married them, because they certainly did not appear to be illegitimate in any way, and they had a lot of money, and they could buy their way with money and influence into the best of families. So women married them. So that's called because of Avdei Shlomo. So this would be going according to the Shita that holds that an Eved that was Baal Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is a Mamzer. So that means, according to them, all these people afterwards, after the time of Shlomo, they ended up settling in Talmud, and they considered themselves to be Goyim. But this is going according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that they're actually Mamzerim, and their mothers were Jewish, and their fathers were these Avadim. So that would be the reason you have to stay away from them, that they presented themselves as Goyim, because that was their own identity. But Lamaisa, Lahalacha, they were Jewish Mamzerims. So the other one says, no, it's because of Benot Yerushalayim. Benot Yerushalayim, we have to learn a little bit later. We're going to understand what Benot Yerushalayim means. Now, Bishlom Alam Amdi Omer Mishum Avdei Shlomo. What's his shita? He obviously holds that an Oved Kechavim or an Eved that sleeps with a Jewish woman and has a child with her, the Vlad is a mamzer. But if you're telling me it's Bishum Benot Yerushalayim, Benot Yerushalayim, I don't even know what that means. Mahi. Pligi bar Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan. Both of them are quoting Rabba Bar Bachana. And one says, the Kabbalah that I have from Rabba Bar Bachana is that there were 12,000 foot soldiers and there were 6,000 sharpshooters, obviously of arrows, but Chita Alfei Kashtuyei. And some say there were 12,000 soldiers, out of whom 6,000 were sharpshooters. And they were the advanced team that entered into the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the first Churban, and they were Machriv, the Beis HaMikdash. So where the general army, they were looking for Biza, and they went to take all of the gold and the silver that they could find in the Eitzres of the Beis HaMikdash, these guys turned to the women. And that's what it's referring to. In Eicha, when it says, Nashim b'tzioninu, b'tulot b'arei Yehuda. So these guys were bedavka out to rape all of the Jewish women. And those children that were mamzerim, that had come from those Jewish women, they were in Tarmut. Fine. So Amr b'Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr b'Yonatan. Getting back, and we're gonna redo all of this, and I'm gonna show you how it's all nogea b'chor, the b'chor satan. So getting back to what it was that Reb Dosa said when he saw Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So he said, Nar hayiti gam zakanti velo ra'iti tzadik na'azav. Who said that pasuk? Taina's Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani that Reb Yonatan explained that the idea over here is that the sar ha'olam, which is a particular, this is a whole big issue. There's all kinds of discussion, which Tosfos goes into over here. What is the sar ha'olam? We had this back in Chulin, where we talked about the Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, Pasuk zeh sar ha'olam amro. That was the time that the Deshoyim were not say, kal v'chomer ba'atzmo, and some people were saying that the sar ha'olam, that's the malach that's called the na'ar. The problem is that the na'ar is a reference to Chanuch, and the na'ar is sometimes used as a reference to the malach matat, and there's a whole big shita that Chanuch was really the malach matat, the malach matat. Anyway, it's not for us to worry about, but whoever this sar ha'olam is, so it's a translation of the hanhaga of Hashem into the one of the levels of the going down into the world is called the Sara Olam. So he said, Nara Yiti Vigam Zakanti. Because who do you think said it? Man Amre. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say it? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get old. What's a child to say, Nara Yiti Vigam Zakanti? He's going to talk about himself as if he got old. And what are you going to say? Well, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. David said it. David was a kid. He died when he was 70 years old. I mean, how could he have said, Nara Yiti Gamza Kanti? What does he know about life? So how much did he see that he should be able to say from his great perch of ancient visions, he's going to say, Nara Yiti Gamza Kanti? It's so inappropriate. So it's got to be some entity that actually saw the world from its inception as a nar, all the way through the zikna. And he can still say that with that perspective, I can tell you that even though it looks to you that there's been lots of tzaddik nezav, there's never been a tzaddik nezav. My father Zatzal was bothered by this pasuk for decades until he realized that the meaning, because he himself said, I know plenty of tzaddikim nezov, v'zarum avakesh lochem. What's a tzaddik to say? I mean, remember, he grew up in Eretz Yisrael at a time where people, mamish, had nothing to eat. You know, you had an onion a day, and that was basically your diet. So what's a tzaddik to say, v'lo ra'iti tzaddik ne'ezav, until he realized that the meaning of ne'ezav doesn't mean that you don't have. It means you were ne'ezav in mikra. You're left like nobody gives a hang. That I never saw. Of course, there could be a gezerah, there could be an einish, there could be a zman, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka being master pona, but that's not ne'ezav. But in order to see that, you have to have this perspective of the sar ha'olam. It's not chas v'sholom that he's ne'ezav. Fine. So it must be that it was sar ha'olam who said this. And another thing that Rabbi Yonatan said was that when it says, Yado Paras Tsar, Al Kol Machamadea. It says in Echa. What is that referring to? That is referring to a tsar, a particular enemy. Which enemy that would go after Kol Machamadea? It's referring to Ammon and Moab. Why? Because the reason that you'll see why we quote this here, because it's the same lashon that we had about the special marines that were going to rape all the Jewish women. So here, there were the special marines from Ammon and Moab. The b'shar shenichbesu avdei kochavim lahechal, when it was a free-for-all among the goyim, so everybody else was trying to find gold and silver. But Ammon and Moab, they went to find the Sefer Torah in the Azorah so they should burn it. And that's the lashon of Paras Tzor, is the lashon of Saraf Tzor, Behipacha Osios. And there is a particular tsar. And who is that? That's Ammon and Moab, because Zeshe Katuv, Lo Yavo Ammoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem. There's this document that has made us into animals that aren't roy to be mitzarev to the Kal Hashem, even if we become gerim. Yisarev Beish, it should be burned. So that's the beautiful end of the Pasuk. This is such a beautiful drasha. Because the end of the Pasuk says, Bo migdasha asher tzivita lo yavo bekahalach. That's the end of the Pasuk. So those people that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were mitzaveh, that they should not be allowed into the kahal, that was the Yado Paras Tsar because of that Pasuk, Al Kol Machamadea. And what is Machamadea? Which is the Torah. So they went after the Machamadeah. Such a beautiful way to understand the Pasuk and the way that it comes together. It's amazing. So they said that should be burned in the fire, which is Parash Sarav. Tziva Hashem liYaakov Sivivav Tsarav. And once we're talking about the Pesukim in Eicha, so what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Gezeira that the one who surrounds him is always going to be his tzorais, the ones that are tzorais, are the ones that are going to make problems for him. So what is that referring to? Omar Rav, that's like the town of Homania, which is around Pumnara, where all the Jews settled in Pumnara, and you got these crazies in Homania, they're always making these pogroms. So that's the tsar. Wherever we settle, there's always goyim that are going to be around you just to make you tzoras. My Shver Zatzal used to say right next to Tulsi Yeshiva, they had this enormous Catholic seminary. And you could watch all these galachim, you know, in their suits. They're walking on one side of the road, and the Yeshiva Bochram are working on the other side of the road on Shabbos. And he used to say, Tziva Hashem Yaakov, Sivivov Tzarav. That's exactly, you can't get away from them. This is after running away from Europe and the Nazis, and now I got surrounded by these characters. Omer of Yudah Omer of Asi, Oved Kochavim Shekidesh Bizman Hazeh, Choshishim LeKidushim. Look, if a goy today gives a Jew Kiddushin, when we say today, we mean after the Golas of the Aseres HaShvatim, you got to be worried that maybe he's really a Jew. Because how do you know? Maybe he comes from the Aseres HaShvatim. So, well, what do you mean? Maybe comes from the Aseres HaShvatim. What about Rov? Kol deparish mirubaka parish. We're going to say anybody who came along could be from the Aseres HaShvatim. No. Obviously, Rav Asi was talking about a place in one of the towns that is identified in the Pasuk as a place where the Aseres HaShvatim settled. So in those towns, it's considered to be kavua. And if it's kavua, Rashi learns it's because kavua kemechzal mechzadami. Others learn that they're rov. But in any event, it now becomes a possibility, like it's half and half, that maybe he's a Jew. D'yomer Rebaba Bar Kahana, take a look at where Tiglat Pileser, where Pool, and Reb Barnea gave me some good, I asked him, is Pool mentioned? Because in the Pasuk it says Pool. And he showed me many documents from that time where the Melech Pulu, which is assumed to actually be Tiglat Pileser. So that's Pool. And he, it says there in the Pasuk, Vayanchem Bachlach, Uvechavor, Nahar Gozan, Viore Madai. So this Melech Ashur, who's identified as Pool and Tiglat Pileser, he had the Aseres HaShvatim. Remember, that was their official policy. They were the ones who had this original idea of transferring whole populations into different locations, and that way they would have a complete shlita which ended up creating the first actual global village. And that's what they set out to do, according to some, in order to create a multicultural empire. And that's how they did it. I mean, how else do you mix populations if you don't have an internet? So if you don't have a Zoom that puts the Gabbai together with the Rebbe and that puts the Chavrutzes together and so on, what are you going to do? So the only way to do it is you actually have to physically move the populations. Okay? So that's what they did. So that they sent the Aser HaShvatim to these places. And we know where these places are, says Rav Abba Bar Kahana, because Chalach is actually Chalzon, and Chavor, maybe Rabbanea can help us, is referring to Chadayab, which some say is where Helene Amalka came from, and so on. So this is in Bovel or in Iraq. And Nahar Gozan refers to Ginzak, which is in Syria. And Orei Madai is Hamadan. Hamadan is actually a city in Persia, in Iran. And all of its suburbs, the Chavroteha. And some say it's referring to Nihar, the Chavroteha. So Nihar is actually in very interesting, because in Kedushin, when it brings this, it says that's the city of New Haven. It literally spells out New Haven, which is the place where you will come for a new haven. That's what they call New Haven. New Haven, right?
Where Israel started.
In a sense, yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. So that New Haven actually is a current city. And that is near Hamadan. So it's like, it was a question, was Hamadan was the suburb? Was New Haven the suburb? Okay, but whatever. Okay, so what is the meaning of all of these places? And when we talk about the Chavroteha of this Nihar, Amar Shmuel, these are the towns of Kerech and Mushri and Chutki and Dumakia, and all of them are Mamzerim. You should know that they're all basically Kulan Lefsul, they're all psulim. So notice, according to Rabasi, if you have a Oved of a Zoro, it seems to be an Akum, from these places, you have to be Cheshish for Kedushin. Quite amazing. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk about the rest of it later, because I'm Mamish smack bang in the middle of the sugya here, but I'll stop on time, because I want to explain to you what the inyan of the Bechor Satan is. And I want to explain why we have these sugyas here, which seem to be completely, I mean, what are they doing here in Yevamos? So first of all, let's talk about Bechor Satan. Is a very interesting Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri brings that the idea of Bechor Satan is based on the Pasuk in Iyov. In Iyov it says, Yochal Badav Bechor Mavet. So the Bechor Mavet is the Satan, is the Malach HaMavet. And here it's referring to it as a Bechor Mavet. So that's a meaning that somebody, the Pashtus is, the way the Machzor Vitri explains it, is that he's a person that, my brother is a person who goes around and embarrassing people, insulting people, and just pounding his way into like what he feels is right, and it's like the Malach HaMavet, stay away from this kid. That's the Bechor Mavet. Okay. That's the Machzor Vitri. But I want to suggest, based on this, something that has to do with the entire nature of the sugya. And that is like this. The Ramban, who gives the explanation of what is the meaning of Zvulun's name, Zvadani Elohim Oti Zevetov. So says the Ramban, that word, Zevetov, does not have any kind of basis in Lashon HaKodesh that I know of. And therefore, I suggest, this is for Moshe Forman, who's also not showing his face, and yet is supposedly so interested in the Makaris of Lashon HaKodesh. You never know what's coming, Moshe Forman. So, says the Ramban, that what happened is that it's actually, I believe, it's one of those words that is a symbiosis. It comes from two different words. And he brings many words that are symbiotic words, such as, where does the word madua come from? Where's the marker in Lashon HaKodesh? Madua, why? What is that supposed to mean? So obviously it means ma de'a, from what, or mi eze de'ah, from what insight would you conclude this, right? And he says there's tons of words like that. So we have like salmavet, biladai. He says that the inyan over here is that the zevet tov comes from the word for badim. So it's zebad. What does zebad mean? That when you identify a tree on fe'a ilana gasim, are called a bad. And this lashon is used b'lashon hash'alah, so we use it as a metaphor for children. So the same way that the tree, the big branches of the tree, are called badim, so she spoke about zevulun, that it should be a great chosh of a branch of zevet tov that should come now from Yaakov Avinu. That's how I understand the word. But then he goes on to say, and where do we see this that we call children badim? Yochal badav b'chor mavet. He brings the pasuk in Iyov, right? So the b'chor he understands to be the badav will be destroyed by a b'chor that, and the b'chor is obviously children. So there's a b'chor that takes you to hell, so to speak. So it's b'chor mavet. And that's why he calls it b'chor satan. This kid will drag us all down to hell. So be very careful from him. What does that mean? So if you consider what the entire sugya is doing here, you see an amazing thing. We saw from the beginning that the issue of Yibum is that it's fundamentally related to the concept of Erva, such that in the end, we even said, if you don't have an actual Iser Erva, even though you're married, then there's no chiyuv of Yibum, even though you're married to this brother's, it doesn't even make any sense. You're his full brother, no mitzvah of Yibum, because there's no Iser Veseshach, because Einis Chalal Iser. What? Astounding. So what that meant was that ultimately what we're looking at over here is a very delicate balance between the outcomes of Erva, and this is Mu'uvat Lo Yuchal Litkon, so what are you going to do now? That mamzer has now screwed up the future of the world by messing up the genetic pool. Mamzer is also a double word that the Gemara identifies. Mumzar. This is what happens when you bring in alien genes and you end up with a permanent breakdown in the genetic continuity. Now that is directly nogeya yibum. Because the question of the delicate balance between erva that leads to mamzeres, which over here, that's the question. What level of erva? Is it only chayve mises? Is it chayve krisis? Is it chayve lavim? Does it include the tzora of the bas? And so on and so forth. That's our whole discussion. We already saw earlier that the issues of the way in which we learn the Torah. Remember, we had the whole discussion about the various limudim in which we go into everything, Gezeirah Shava and Mamatzinu and Hekesh and Dover Yotzim and Aklal and Dover Shahaya Beklal and it's Yotzim Lelamed. All of these discussions we had at the beginning of the Masechet for no reason, but as we pointed out over there, for a very good reason, because that is the nature of Bad. It's the nature of what comes out of an idea. It's the mimetic equivalent of the genes that we're talking about in Yibum. So therefore, what becomes ultimately the equivalent of a mamzer in mimetics? The Bechor Satan. Because the idea of the breakdown between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, in which you now will have the Torah Kishtei Torot, is an illegitimate use of the Midah Shatera Nidreshes Behem to the point that it creates literally an alien am. And that's why they were so concerned to go to Reb Deisa. And Reb Deisa immediately understood, you're right, we got a problem because I got a little mamzer of a brother, so to speak. He's the one that's going to drag you down to hell. So you're going to have to deal with that issue, which is why Tosfos gives us one possible explanation of why it is that they scattered. Says Tosfos, maybe they didn't scatter because they were scared. Maybe they scattered to find him and pin him down. So that, this way they could scatter and figure out where he was in case he tries to escape. But that means that this inyan of the milchamta shel Torah, the insight of Reb Doza, is completely connected with the concept of mamzeres. Memela, at the end of this sugya, we need to go through not only what causes mamzeres, but where do we have a depository of mamzeres, and what extent of zaros, as we'll see tomorrow, creates mamzeres. So it turns out that Masechet is marvelously integrated in a very profound understanding of legitimate and illegitimate extensions of gene or meme pools. To what extent is that delicate balance of what is still legitimate? It's such an amazing word that turned out to be the word in English for legitimacy. That's a pella. Why legitimate? You call it legal, whatever. I mean, like, Vosipus, oh, he's an illegitimate child. Because the idea over here is the edges of legitimacy. It's always fringe concepts. That's the idea. So it's a very much on the edge question. Therefore, it really is this a legitimate extension of marriage or not? That's what it means in English. To us, marriage is not the legitimacy. It's the underlying hayra of the world, which is genetics, mimetics, not what you happen to call in the church a marriage. Yes, Sir Ira. Did I hear a word?
Say that this idea is very nogeya lahalacha in terms of kashrus, because you could have a chicken. Is it just a genetic mutation, or is it already a new species? And that's exactly that fine line.
New species of chicken?
Well, there's a machloket about it. There's a chicken called a meshi.
Okay.
That has an extra finger.
Right.
So is that
considered to be an extra limb, or is it considered some sort of
mechusar
ever?
Right. Which is, you know, on the edge. It's not quite pushing. Or is it
excellent? Excellent. This is nogea. This is actually nogea. No, not necessarily, because we have, it doesn't have to be a Masorah for that chicken. The question is, it's incorporated within the Masorah, because you know that halacha lamaisa, which is the big halacha that has to do with tarfus, is the question of the shape of the lung and the lobes of the lung, and that's the aninuta de varda, if you remember, that we had in Chulin, and that was the question, is the aninuta de varda an additional lung? And as the Mefarshim bring, the evolution of the animals today has brought all lungs to have that additional lobe. So if that is the derech of evolution, how could it be illegitimate? And how could it be considered to be a tosefet, which would then be the equivalent of a geruah? It's mamish, very, very nogea. Anybody who's involved in actual shechita, and anybody who's ever done a bedika with his hands on the lung, is very aware of the power of the Aninuta Devarda and how it fits into the Sugya Bechlal. I see we have a hand raised by the Gabbai, who is probably trying to use that hand on the Rebbe that's been moved far away and is now once again hiding. We're going to have to do something. Maybe a mass invasion, or Shloisha Chachomim should come into the Rebbe and discuss with him what's going on. Yeah, but anyway, why did you raise your hand, Gabi?
It also, this connects to how the goyim, when they invade the Beis Hamikdash, what they're out to do. They're out to either destroy the genetics, or they're out to destroy the Torah's emphasis on the genetics.
Ah, beautiful.
And
yeah. Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, so anyway, I just...
The question today is very challenging.
Sorry?
When it comes to Reform Judaism and conservative, it's obvious.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's Amzar. But now, with all these strange... mutations
right.
of Judaism that we have today, becomes much more difficult to discern. And how can really guide us through the sugya of how to discern those amzar, those genetic cancers?
Right. All of these kitot have ended up becoming batal. The tzedukim, the baitusim, and so on, they all either branched off from Klal Yisrael completely, which is they literally became goyim, they became Christian. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. That's the next stage. So hold on before we finish this parak.
Time will tell. Time will be the judge.
Time may tell. You can't really be sure. Now, I mean, that is so much a part of reality. I mean, I got to show you my socks. So you gotta make sure that it's misofa olamat sofa. It was all Bobby, it was all programmed. It was all programmed. I had him say, you know, don't worry about a thing. After all, it's Purim. Okay, everyone, see you. See you, Bezrat Hashem. Go to
Rabbi, notice Rabbi Dose is involved in all of this. Rabbi Dose is the Mesorah in Idios that tells his son, don't follow me. In my time, it was this way. But you don't do that. You follow the robe. And Rabbi Dose is with the Machlokas with Rabbi Yeshua about time. It said we have to be Makabel, the best in.
Excellent, excellent, beautiful addition. Yashikayach Rabarnea, wonderful. A liquid, smooth voice indeed. Kol Tov.